Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
Randy Wilson. I'm a professor of sociology here at Houston Baptist University. I've been here, it doesn't seem like it's such a long time, but I think it's a long time because when I talk to my students, I've been here longer than they've been alive. And so that's what's kind of strange to me. I've been here since the late 90s. I'm a professor of sociology, so I'm teaching a discipline that most students are very familiar with, but they, because they live in a, in the world, live in a social world, but they're not real familiar with the discipline. America is a very psychologically oriented culture, and so they're very familiar with psychology, but when they get here, they're not so familiar with thinking about sociology or the context that we live in. So it's really fun to teach that course, those courses. Right now, for instance, I'm teaching classes on criminology and on the family and on childhood and on social psychology. It's very interesting. At least I think it's very interesting. And so it's fun to kind of draw students in and help them see and understand the world that they come from and how important it is to predicting and understanding their life and their future. Right now I'm over in the School of Humanities. Mm-hmm. I'm the chairman of a department over here, the Department of Law and Society. Mm-hmm. And so in our department, we have several disciplines. We have several majors. We have a pre-law major that students take to get themselves ready for law school that gets them ready for all kinds of careers. We have a criminal justice major that's also online. We have a political science major that also gets students ready for all kinds of careers in public service and in government. And we have lots of minors, sociology and communications. And so it's a real exciting, very varied department with some incredible people working in it. And so students come over here and find a major and find a minor and get themselves prepared and get themselves ready for mostly undergraduate work, but mostly they're also getting ready for graduate school. So these are students who are getting serious and getting prepared to learn the discipline, but also learning how to get prepared for graduate work. And that's another, a whole other next chapter in their academic preparation. I have a daughter and she's a teacher. She's an instructional technologist like her mother was. And so she and her husband live in North Dallas. I have a grandson. They moved away. And so they're in big trouble all the time because they moved away to Dallas. And I try to see them as often as I can. I'm running out of steam now. And so I don't know what else you'd be interested in. Please ask me some really good questions. What I do is I have an activity in class with students coming to college, and I let them ask me any question they want to ask me about me. And so students start to do that and they raise their hand up and they ask some questions. I have to kind of coach them a little bit. And they ask me all these questions. And then I click on the screen behind me and all the questions that they had asked me appear on the screen. And they're just kind of amazed that how did I know what they were going to ask me? And I tell them, well, that's what sociology will help you do, because I can kind of predict what you will do because I don't have to know who you are personally, but I know how you've been raised and I know the world that you came out of. And so I know the norms that you're going to follow. And so the kinds of questions you will ask somebody. And then I click on the screen again and there's a list of questions that I know you would never ask me in a million years. And they're always amazed by that. They're silly and embarrassing kinds of questions. And I say, I know the norms that will prevent you from asking these silly or stupid or embarrassing kinds of questions too. And so I'm trying to break the ice in class and kind of let them kind of get to know me, but I'm also trying to teach them kind of how you can use the knowledge in this discipline to kind of help you in the world without having to know everybody's bio, But you can make some pretty good predictions about what people will do just asking a couple questions about people. Anyway, I don't know what people, there's no audience here. We're having to do everything online and remotely, and so it's really hard to tell what people are interested in now.
Well, you know.
What are you interested in?
Well, I'm very interested in sociology, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But I just want to go back and tell you that, you know, it's interesting. I've only been at HBU 6 years, and I've heard your name so many times in so many different contexts. And without patronizing, I have to tell you, I've really looked forward to today. This is my nearly 200th podcast, but I really looked forward to today. I know we had a little scheduling adjustment, and I say, Clay, whatever you do, make sure we don't lose Dr. Wilson. So thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for the person you are, the light that shines from you, and the impact that you've had in your uniquely long tenure and fruitful career at HBU. Dr. Wilson, professor of sociology at HBU, teaching since 1997. And it says you have an interest, you've been focused on American Christianity, culture, and family. I want to pause right there, because I'll tell you later why that's so interesting to me, but why is that interesting to you?
Well, in high school, I'm from San Antonio. In high school, I surrendered to a call to the ministry. And later on in my academic preparation, I decided to pursue a doctorate in sociology because I thought that trying to figure out and understand what was going on with the church in America, what was working, what was not working, that I could learn how to fix things. I like to fix things, I think, is what I like to do. And when I was an undergraduate at Baylor, I'd never heard of sociology either. And I had a professor, and she was just a whirlwind. She was very dynamic. And when I took my sociology course, it made sense to me. I think that's kind of how I'm wired, that big picture perspective. And so I remembered all of that, and I thought, you know, I could learn about that discipline, and I could help denominations and churches kind of figure out the trends and kind of figure out what's going on in the world and figure out how to organize and reorganize and what's happening with the world, the big picture, but also locally what's happening with the world. I asked my Sunday school class, I teach a Sunday school class at church, and I asked them Sunday morning, I said, you know, most people in America today live together before they get married.
Right.
And I said, now, if people in Houston were gonna come to our church, what Sunday school class would they come to? We don't call them Sunday school classes anymore, but which one would they come to? Because we're not organized at my church for the way people in America live. And I said, so, you know, we therefore have kind of closed our doors to the way people live. And I'm from an evangelical denomination. So what we're supposed to be, what we believe in is that you want to have open doors all the time. Mm-hmm. And so that may be because our denomination or our church may be a little unaware of what's going on in the world around us and how it's rapidly changing, the way families are organized, for instance. And so that's what I wanted to do with my life, was help the church stay on top of what's going on in the world around us so that we could be more effective at taking the good news and providing ministry to people who live all around us, not expecting people to get their act together first before they come to church, but the church to, because I'm still working on trying to get my act together and trying to figure out how to have open doors to people. And so my class just kind of looked at me like, I don't know what class they go to. We don't have a class for people who don't fit the labels, the 1950s maybe labels that we're still kind of organized by. So that's what I wanted to do, and that's kind of why I chose this discipline. And so I study American Christian, American churches, and what's the history of them. And it's a very, in America, it's a very unique history. Christianity is a very different animal in America than it has been historically, and than it has been and is in the rest of the world. And so we're you know, the way you do Christianity is always contained within your culture, and yet it calls culture, I'm quoting somebody, into question. So to understand American Christianity, you have to understand America and our culture and how it works and doesn't work. That's a long answer. Sorry about that.
It's a very good answer. So, Dr. Wilson, I want to just, when we look at the segments of enrollees at HBU, we know there's like 30% plus that are in psych-oriented majors that enroll. Talk to me about what's the demographic. I mean, so sociology, no doubt, there's an aspect of that's in the core and undergraduate. Who are the men and women? What are the ages that come through the sociology courses at Houston Baptist, both undergraduate and graduate?
People are interested in psychology because they're familiar with it. And right. So that's a real familiar kind of thing. And so in sociology, what we do is we have that that discipline and those kinds of courses interjected within all of the majors in our law and society discipline. So when you come and you take a criminal justice major, you're going to take a course on the American family. Most of the police calls in Houston, for instance, involve something related to a family problem or family crisis. So what we've done is we've stuck a family course into that major. So it's a sociology course, and it's about families and how they work and don't work. And so our students are, instead of having to go get a major that's separated over here, they take majors, a pre-law major, you're going to learn about sociology, a political science major, a major in family studies. And so that's how we've decided to do it over here in this department, is to kind of seed all of the majors with that discipline. Does that make sense?
Sure. Is there an intersection?
And this department has the largest majors in the entire School of Humanities.
Wow.
So most people in the School of Humanities are majoring in medical humanities or pre-law or criminal justice.
And then how does it morph when you get on the graduate level from a course offering standpoint with the psychological, sociological distinctive?
So people, you know, they will go off and get probably the most familiar thing that people do, and certainly in Houston, is they'll get they'll go on a social work track, perhaps. And so we have social work degrees here in Houston that people will get and do. To do social work, you pretty much have to have a master's degree in it, an MSW. We don't have that at HBU, but that's something that people will do who are going to do that kind of work. But sociology is not necessarily a career track major. It's in the School of Humanities, what we're trying to do is not so much teach you how to plow a field as much as we're trying to teach you how to be somebody who can think and feel and act. And so the kinds of courses that we're having you take are courses that help you learn how to think, and learn how to understand, learn how to communicate, learn how to write. And so what we're trying to do is kind of prepare you as the person. They're specifically career oriented in the sense of like a pre-law or a criminal justice. And there are courses that get you ready for specific kinds of careers. But what we're really wanting to do is have you take courses that prepare you as a citizen, a family member, and an employee who can do all kinds of things. The world of work changes so rapidly these days that employers are telling us, you know, we can teach you how to work that software or whatever it is. What we're having a hard time is finding employees who know how to write, who know how to communicate, who know how to work with other people. And so in all of our majors, what we try to do is teach that. And in your questions about sociology, that's what we try to do with sociology, is teach you how to be a parent and why families are so important, why they're so essential. And so you're probably not going to get that at another university, but at HBU, you're going to get why families are very important, why they're essential, and why they work. And so it's not so much how to get a good job as much as it how to be an effective human being, and how to raise kids, and how to be the kind of citizen that we need in our society. And so I'm not sure, I don't know when it'll click. Maybe it'll click when you at the hospital with the birth of your first child. Maybe some of the lessons will click then, I don't know. But that's the deeper and the more eternal kinds of lessons, I think, that we try to do. And that's why we hire the kinds of people we hire here. And that's why we sit and we talk about those kinds of things in faculty meetings. And when we advise people and get people ready for their next courses, their next set of courses for the next semester, we're interested in mentoring students and talking to students about who they're becoming and what they want to become the next semester and the next year and when they graduate, a process that's going on in their lives, rather than just here's the number you need and here's the class you need to take and treating them like a customer. We don't really want to do that here. And so I know that's not what you asked, but that's kind of what we're trying to do in this department and in the School of Humanities is and therefore give students that HBU experience that we believe is unique and that we think students need to be able to talk about when they graduate. When I went to college, that's what my experience was like. It was different and it was unique and it was special. And I understood some really eternal kinds of truths. And maybe I didn't really click and maybe I didn't really jump on board, but I know that the seeds were planted and I know what they are now. And later on, when I'm ready to make that decision, when I face whatever the crisis is, I've got those seeds planted in my life, you know, and I've made some connections to some people. And I can get on the email and talk to my professor from way back when, you know, those have happened in my life. So that's what we're trying to do.
You know, you use the vernacular, the HBU distinctive, and I couldn't agree more. I would like in the nearly 200 podcasts that I've had the privilege to film, if I've heard two things, and if very interestingly from all the people, it was HBU is like a family. And secondly, it was my professor cares about me. And I would be interested from your perspective, you know, there's a lot of different universities you can go to, but HBU does in a very singular way provide an opportunity that you don't really get in that classroom of 700 where you are a name and number. Give me your perspective of why HBU should be the choice to consider to come to a university. Why?
Well, now here's the sociologist talking to you. The whole world that we live in mm-hmm. is becoming increasingly more impersonal and instrumental. And so if you think about the interactions with human beings you have had in a given week, mostly they have been instrumental interactions. You drove through the drive-through, you went to the cleaners, and you talked to the guy about your car. You did things with people, and you did business interactions with people, and you got business done. And everybody was nice. They said hi, and they said bye, and they got things accomplished. But you really didn't have a personal connection with a whole lot of people. And as families continue to disintegrate, mm-hmm. That means less and less. You're less and less people are going home and having personal interactions with real people who know them and love them. And so as that's the trajectory that we're on as a society, well, that means that going to college and sitting in a room of 700 people and being a number and being a paper and being a grade, you know, that just sounds like the rest of the world that you live in. And so why not be a university and be a 4-year experience where you're with somebody who's going to invest some time and some living in your life and know who you are and care about what's going on. You know, when kids come to college, their experience of learning has been in high school, where you go to class and then you leave class and it's finished. Well, college isn't like that. College is like going to work 9 to 5. And sometimes you go to class, well, all the time you go to class, but you also leave class and you go to the library and you go home and you work on this over here and you work with a group and you work on a larger project. You're always working 9 to 5 on something in college all the time. And it's hard sometimes to initially get kids to realize that college is all the time. It's not just in class. Well, so your interaction with your faculty member is an all the time thing too. And technology, while it's sometimes awful, is also good because it enables all the time communication back and forth. And so I'm at night, if at night I'm answering communications from students, especially nowadays, this year, and trying to talk to students and trying to get them to think and trying to talk to them about their life and what's going on and the sports team that they're on and ask them questions to treat them like a person, you know, and not a student, to tell them, well, that, you know, you bombed on that assignment, but that was just an assignment. That's not you, you know, and to talk to people like that so that they know who I am and I know who they are. I mean, I dress with a funny costume so that they have a little experience of college and that they can talk about. And I want them to have an experience, a personal experience and a meaningful experience, and at HBU, an eternal experience here. And to know that they're valued, it doesn't really matter what their religious belief is, and it doesn't really matter how immature or mature they are. It doesn't matter what you majored in. It doesn't matter what grade you made. And you and I aren't adversaries. You and I are on the same team. And we're both trying to get you to be successful and figure out how to do that. And so I don't know what kind of adversarial relationship you might have had in high school, but in college, that's not how it works here. We're on the same team and we're working to help you learn and become a learner, because if you can do that, you're going to go to the moon when you get out of college. It's going to help you tremendously in everything in life. And your wife and your husband's going to love you so much more if you're a learner and can learn about things, and your kids too. So, did I answer that question? Did I chase a rabbit? I'm not sure.
You certainly did. I want to touch on two things. One is my wife and I in 2015 enrolled in the American Atheist Convention there in Memphis. And there was 1,000 activists there. And we just sat with them for 4 days and interviewed them. And long story short, since that time, we filmed with about 106 leaders across the world in fields of atheism, agnosticism, Christian apologetics, sociologists, psychologists, et cetera, et cetera. And we've been focusing, Randy, on the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, that I know you're very familiar with. And I'm in the process of writing a book called The Nuns, Growing Up Not Knowing the None Other, which has a focus on Gen Z, this burgeoning population that's coming our way, that's very tech-driven. But I would be interested, and I've been obviously thinking for 5 years about the causal reasons. Why did this happen? And as you and I both know, this is not just theological. There are sociological implications to this burgeoning demographic that now eclipses Roman Catholics and evangelicals in the United States, a third of which are millennials. Could I ask you, what's your take on why this phenomenon of adult Americans who have religiously disaffiliated, they're not atheists, as we both know, a very small percentage are atheists. They have kind of a solitary spirituality to themselves and expressed in a whole multitude of ways. What's your opinion regarding that? Because I'm sure you have a perspective.
Well, the external causes, the largest external causes, I believe, are the collapse of the family, which is what's been going on during that period of time. And so you don't have, the family's responsible for primary socialization. And so when you don't have a family that's inserting within you meaning, essential meaning, you know, early on, you have that loss. And so you have generations of people who have this this deep and emptiness, empty hollow, kind of a hollow place within them that never got filled up with a meaningful relationship with a father. Most children in America today grow up without, at some time in their life, without a father. And so even a stepfather won't really fill that spot like a biological father does. And so you've got that empty space within you. And so the collapse of a family means that you've got that, the meaning hole is in your life. Christianity in America has not done a very good job of providing answers to that question of meaning, because Christianity is all over the board in America. Christianity is kind of like Baskin Robbins, and it's everywhere. And it sounds, because Christianity in America is a kind of a, it looks more like because it's a competitive environment and it's a market oriented kind of environment, it looks more like going shopping for shoes than it does a truth and a real truth. And you know, most Christians today can't answer basic questions about their doctrine or the Bible, for instance. And so that would give you, so of course, why are there so many nuns? Well, it's because there's not a truth out there that everybody can agree on, even within Christianity. And so as Christianity itself, lots of people say they're Christians, but you know, the famous Baylor study, when you ask them about God, there's four different gods that Americans believe in. So those are the two external reasons. The internal reason I would say would be this, this desire for an internal and individualized definition of reality and truth. We have pushed everybody so far in the direction of that this individualism that we've gone to the extreme now. And so you define it yourself. And so you can even, you know, you can call yourself a little red wagon, I guess. We'll make a bathroom for you. I mean, it's gotten so far to the edge that it's almost ridiculous now. And so and of course, we're not going to, Christians don't believe that internally you find truth. We believe that truth is found externally, and it's found in God. And he's revealed himself in ways, for instance, in his work. Well, I don't find that within my looking at myself and trying to question myself over and over again and discern inwardly what the truth is. Well, that's the direction American culture is pushing us, is to look inwardly and define it myself. And as long as nobody gets hurt, I get to do that. And America pats me on the back and says, well, that's your truth. This is my truth. And so we don't really have truth. We have subjective truth, and that's not really truth, is it? So it's getting pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed to the end. And now we're kind of in a real ridiculous place now in America, where it's really, I mean, I believe in our lifetime, we will really see, it will be like a cartoon we'll be living in. Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And I reflect on Douglas Murray's book from London, Madness of the Crowds, where, as we see, the UK has taken this trajectory even further than we have. It's very predictive. So many things, Dr. Randy Wilson, professor of sociology at Houston Baptist University, that we could talk about. I could not have this conversation with you about telling you about the day that Dawn came to the studio and impacted me in a one-on-one interview, like she impacted every life. And she was your late wife, who's now in heaven. I want to ask you, how are you doing? And give us just your reflections on, I mean, what an amazing wife you had. I mean, we all know. I was stunned, Randy, when I finished the interview, that facing the battle of cancer, how she just day in, day out, what an example.
I have been fortunate to have colleagues around me that have supported me, and a university who has supported me. pray for me all the time. That's what makes this all possible, I'm telling you. But I have continued to teach full time through all of the chemo and radiation and all of those things that I have gone through. And even in December, I had brain surgery.
Wow.
And just and recovering from that. So, but I, every time, the blessing is that I have people praying for me, and I hear from them all the time that they are praying for me. And so if I worked in another institution, that would not be true.
She had a different kind of breast cancer that most people have never really heard of. And so that's what's kind of dangerous about it. It's inflammatory breast cancer. And so it doesn't appear as a lump. It's like a skin rash. Mm-hmm. And so people don't think that that's cancer. And so they don't get it diagnosed in time. And it's a very fast moving cancer. And so she was very quick to go get it diagnosed. But by the time it was diagnosed, it had already moved into her lymphatic system. And so she was already stage four. And so we had really great, wonderful a treatment, wonderful doctors at the Methodist hospital system, just incredible people and an incredible doctor. And had it taken care of with the chemotherapy and kind of knocked out, kind of really at bay. But with chemotherapy, it doesn't, there's a barrier, a blood-brain barrier we didn't really realize. And so chemotherapy doesn't go into your brain or keep things out of your brain. Mm-hmm. And so it traveled into her brain. And so she developed tumors in her brain. And so that's what ultimately took her life. But the whole time she had cancer, she never stopped working.
I know.
And she helped write two books while she had cancer. And had a grandson and just never stopped. So that's why it's kind of hard right now to go on with life, because she's in the middle of it all the time. And so it's really hard to have to do life right now and to always look over your shoulder and wonder where she is, because why isn't she there? Because she was in the middle of everything all the time. It's been hard to reorganize life, because right after she passed away, the COVID virus hit, and we all went into lockdown and pandemic mode and social isolation. So nothing has been normal for me really since 2019, the end of 2019. So I'm still kind of waiting, except I just wrote a blog post, if you're waiting, you're wasting time if you're waiting to get normal, because right now is your normal. And so you need to live today and not wait for tomorrow and be normal right now that you're in. So that's kind of what that's I'm anxious for. I got part of my vaccine, so I'm anxious for, I feel like the train is moving now a little bit. So that's good. And I'm anxious to take the mask off and have real classes and be with real people. I'm anxious for those kinds of things to happen, but I don't want to lose today either. And I want to make today count. And that's what God said, to count, number your days and to make today count. So I want to do that too. That's what she would want me to do.
Well, Dr. Wilson, our prayers and thoughts are sincerely with you. I can't tell you how many times Dr. Sloan led all of us in executive council to pray for you, to pray for Dawn. I know there are so many other people praying and still praying for you and admiring and you in the middle of all this. And so our sincerest thoughts are with you. We've been talking to Dr. Randy Wilson. He's just another reason why Houston Baptist University is so absolutely unique, that it can become your academic family. Our admissions people will tell you more at 281-649-3211, or just go to hbu.edu/admissions. And our graduate school, hbu.edu/grad, G-R-A-D, or 281-649-3269. Dr. Wilson, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your schedule today to join me. We're grateful to you. You're a great gift to Houston Baptist and to so many people. And I'm going to promise to come bother you to talk to you about the area of research we've been in. And I am so thrilled to have this conversation and to pick it up again in the future. Thanks for being with us today.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.